Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. Today I have with me beautiful soul sister who I just met, but we've clearly known each other. Yeah. Sherry Chabon. Awesome. Who, among other things, is a podcaster, a YouTuber, a fitness and life coach, but and yes, all of that is really important. But the first thing I wanted to reflect to you, my audience, was the heart connection we had. Because that was just like, we turned on the videos. It was like, oh, we're going to just click. So thank you so much for showing up and for being on. And thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Sophia. It's such a pleasure. And I'm so honored to be connected to you today, too.
Oh, thank you, my dear. And I just wanted to start off briefly by just talking about a little bit of your background and how you came into following your passion.
So it's interesting because in life, we don't always see it when it happens, but things happen for us and not to us. And it only took me, of course, living this whole journey for me to see that. I'll have to be honest, because I was quite young. But when I was growing up, I was really involved in sports. I was that tomboy. I always competed against the boys and everything. I had to run faster. I had to do more push-ups. And as I got into high school, I was in varsity sports, volleyball, basketball, track and field. And oftentimes I was MVP as well for all the sports that I was involved in. So that was really how I saw myself. And then when I was 16, I was actually at that time in boarding school in Europe, and I was going downtown to purchase Pearl Jam tickets with my roommate. And I was actually struck by a car trying to race back to catch the bus to go back to campus. And so when that first happened, and of course, this was back in 1996, so quite some time ago, just to date myself here. But when that happened, of course, they didn't diagnose concussions. It wasn't, you know, a lot of the things that we know now, especially about medicine and injuries, we didn't really address them back then. So I really was back in basketball practice about a week later or so after my accident. When I was hit by a car, the first time I remember coming to consciousness was at the hospital. It seemed like I had blacked out. And so that was what we thought it was, just a couple scrapes, had abrasions on my face, and it wasn't that severe. But when I came back to basketball practice about a week later, I started to experience pain in my glutes. And at first I thought that was muscle soreness because I had been off a little bit. And it eventually continued to radiate down my legs until it became shooting electrical pain and eventually brought me to see the doctor and then have surgery for the first time. I was just turning 17 now. And so after that surgery, my doctors told me, you'll never play sports again. You have to maybe walk lightly on a treadmill going forward. And should you ever become pregnant one day, well, we'll have to evaluate that because there's a lot of risk in your back. And so there were several layers of discs that were sort of in question at that point. And I followed this advice, Sophia. I listened to everything they said for so many years. And I found myself moving away from being an athlete to moving towards a party crew, because we look for love and we look for connection and we look for a place to belong. And so that was my new environment. And so I engage in a lot of those habits that, you know, parents tell us not to do, be careful for all those things. And, you know, so I woke up sort of one day in my early 20s, I think I just 20 or 21 years old. And I was like, who is this person? I was just so disgusted with myself. And I didn't resonate with who I always envisioned myself to be. I just felt so off. I actually want to say the word self-hatred, because that's really how I felt. I just loathed myself. I loathed my lifestyle and what I had essentially become. And so it was only at that moment where I decided, okay, you know what? I'm just going to join a gym. And at that point, I didn't actually know what to do in a gym. I was always involved in team sports. And of course, I'm on pain medication every day to get through the pain. My whole world revolved around my back, how long I sat, where I went, whether my host had a place for me to lie down at some point or not. And so when I walked into the gym, all I did was just copy people around me. And I'd walk in, I'd see this person doing an exercise, I'd imitate them. And then copy another one. And I just continued to do that for a few months until eventually I noticed my pain was a lot less. I was able to come off of pain medication and then my pain disappeared. And then I purchased a treadmill and I started running 5 minutes at a time until I eventually built up to being able to run a full hour outdoors.
Wow.
And then it was at that moment where really my whole life just completely did a 180. And at that time, I was actually doing my master's degree in chemistry at McGill University here in Montreal.
Nice.
And that's when I was like, okay, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I want to help people, but I won't be able to help them behind the fume hood of a laboratory. I want to be able to connect with people. And so I went back to school to study exercise science. I certified in everything I could around fitness and training and nutrition and injury rehabilitation. I became a certified athletic therapist. I eventually became an osteopath. And so that is really where my journey actually just took that turn and how I started helping people overcome obstacles, because I truly believe that we all have something that we are struggling with. And for some of us, it is a physical injury. For others, it is a dis-ease or a debilitating maybe condition that they're experiencing. And for others, it's the struggle with weight or a struggle with self-limiting beliefs. And so it's really from this place of actually being told not to do something, not to pursue what I was so connected to, and really being able to overcome that by listening to my body and being very intuitive with the cues that it was giving me, that I just want to share this with as many people as I possibly can on my mission here.
I love that because, when we tune in to that quiet voice within, it guides us in such fascinating ways. I know when I was little, I thought I was going to be a doctor. I didn't want to cut anyone open. Went through an entire weird life journey of academia. And then 4 years ago, I was guided to start doing energy healing.
Wow.
And that's who I was supposed to be. But it took that long for me to get to that journey. So I love that reflection of self, of like, I couldn't have figured that out at 16.
Right.
But now it's like, oh, I see this. And I love the fact that you're really using intuition to guide you for feeling into connecting with the body and exercise and nutrition. And I want to talk to you about that because I do intuitive eating and I want to have that discussion because I think it's a really integral part of how do we care for our bodies.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I love what you said there. And this is the reminder that first and foremost, our journey is the experience, right? Life is actually the journey. And it's not, and this is so cheesy because we always hear this, it's not the destination, right? Because that destination is just a moment. It's one moment in time. But we actually find pleasure in the ebbs and the flows and the hills that we have to go through and the hardships and the joys. And so when we bring all these together, that's how we experience life. That's how we evolve. That's how we grow. And I also want to say that I continue to grow. And as I continue to reflect on even just the things that have happened in my life since COVID, you just see how everything had to happen for you. It needed to happen this way. And so coming back to you finding your path to become an energy healer, I also believe that that has to come at a certain maturity. Right? You know, you've always experienced energies. You know, you were always in tune, but it had to come at that particular moment. And I've even heard you, I think it's around the age of 40 where you really step into your spiritual maturity. And so it's interesting again how just everything lines up. But coming back to that intuitive eating, and this is a really important concept because many of us actually today misunderstand what that means. Intuitive eating is not full permission to eat whatever I want and choose the foods that don't serve me. That is not intuitive eating, right? That is my mind choosing, not my body choosing. Because if my body chooses, my body's not going to choose foods that it can't recognize, right? And the majority of the foods that we are exposed to today is not even real food. It's food-like substance. And so if we allow for our body to actually choose, it's going to choose how much it needs, when it needs it, and what exactly it needs. And that looks like a lot of variety. And sometimes that looks like things that we can't even explain, like suddenly having a high need for salt or eating two or three bananas in that day, right? Your body's calling for something that is depleted. And so I just want to really clarify this because unfortunately, just what I'm seeing today, that there is this hijacking of the term intuitive eating and really this promotion of just eat whatever you want, whenever you want, doesn't matter, and all of that. And so I just want to come back to really stating this high form of intelligence that is the human body. And it is from this place when we are brave enough to listen, when we allow ourselves to be curious and patient, we can actually start to pick up these cues. And I say this because back to my story, Sophia, when I first got into the health and fitness world, of course, then everything was about diets, right? And even though at that particular time I wasn't actually following any one diet, I was just eating whatever, I all of a sudden now felt like I had to change how I ate because now I'm a coach, I'm a trainer, so now I have to eat this way because I'm going to tell people to eat this way too. And so I first started my journey counting calories because that's what we all did. And then we heard about the low-fat diet. And so then it became no fats. And then all of a sudden it was very confusing because now there's this dude named Atkins who's saying, eat lots of fat and eat lots of meat and don't eat any carbs. So we did that. And then after that, I got into the CrossFit world and now I'm eating paleo and then primal and then macros and then the zone and then vegan. And so all of these diets actually take away that intuitive capacity that we have because if I'm following an app and an app is telling me that I should eat now and this much, I'm bypassing those signals. And those signals are there because if you're a parent or if you've been around babies or even if you have a pet, you'll notice that they'll ask for food when they're hungry, right? There's a cue there. And when the baby's done eating, I used to see this in my kids all the time. When they were full, you could not put one more drop of milk in their mouth. That was it. They were done, right? And so we have those signals. But when we're growing up and we had to be a part of the clean plate club because mom told us, don't throw anything out. You have to eat everything. There are starving kids in Africa. Or we came back from school and we had a really hard day. And then mom said, let's go get an ice cream. Or we came back from school and we had an amazing day, and mom said, let's go get ice cream. And then we started introducing diets and we started to really move away from the body's cues and signals. That's actually where all the confusion began.
Totally
And it's
makes
interesting.
sense.
Yeah, right. And it's interesting because I hear so many times from so many different clients that I start with, I just don't know how to eat anymore. I just don't know what to eat. I just don't know how to eat. And the thing is, we actually do. We do. If we move away from thinking about what we want to eat and actually feeling what we want to eat, then that all starts to change.
I had an experience like that this spring, or last spring rather, and all of a sudden, I hadn't eaten beef in probably 12 years. And I got the intuitive awareness that I had adrenal fatigue, and my body just asked for liver pills because tongue doesn't like liver. And started eating beef again. And I'm standing in this counter at a local grocery store at the meat market. And I'm like, and the person behind the counter is like, are you okay? And I'm like, I am, but it's been a minute since I've actually bought beef. And I remember that I used to like filet mignon. I used to eat burgers and filet mignon. Nothing in between, of course, but like those two things. I remember those two things. She's like, well, we have a little filet mignon. It was like maybe this big and like this. I mean, it was really small. Like after the shock of the smell and the first chewing, my body was so happy. I was like, wow, this is so interesting because I was plant-based, gluten, dairy, sugar-free for like 12 years, and that was great. Now I have fish and beef again, and it's like, okay, this is, oh, I'm just like listening to what my body needs. And it's really interesting because I had this when I went to the previous diet, I was pissed, but I knew that was my ego. I could tell it was my ego by the way I responded. And to be able to bring that back in, it was so much more easeful because I was listening. And I know the difference between listening to what my body needs and the addiction.
This is so good. This is so good. And you know what I hear you saying, Sophia? I hear you saying that there was no judgment. There was just observation. You were just being aware. You were just the witness of what was going on. And that's what's really important when it comes to that intuitive part is, can I not judge, right? Can I not polarize these thoughts? Can I just observe? Can I just listen? And then from there, decide then what I'm going to do to proceed.
Right. And it's a fun thing because I love food. I am a foodie. And so I can tell when there's the craving, like chocolate addiction. I know whenever I have a chocolate addiction, it's because I don't have enough vitamin D. And so I'll remember to take the vitamin B. I don't have the chocolate craving.
Right. So
So,
good. And you can't come to that place again if you're judgmental. And I keep bringing up the word judgment because it's so amazing when it comes to health and fitness, how judgmental we are when we start anything. And there is no longer the sense of curiosity, which is what I hope maybe somebody might pick up from today, is just a sense of curiosity around trying things without necessarily needing to force something or to commit to something so in such a disciplined way right from the get-go. So many of us at New Year's resolutions, right, we have these resolutions, I'm never gonna eat sugar again, or I'm never gonna, do this again, I'm never gonna eat that again, I'm gonna do this forever, I'm gonna train 5 days a week. And what we don't allow for ourselves to do is first to adapt. And then even just to wonder, like, what is it doing for me? Do I even like this? Is this sustainable? Because when we engage in something, we fully commit to something that is first and foremost not sustainable and super extreme, then it's hard not only to commit to it, but then we also feel defeated. We also feel like we failed when we didn't follow through. And so what would happen if instead of saying, I'm gonna walk every day and get 10,000 steps? What would happen if we just actually got more curious about that and said, well, what would happen if for 30 days I walked for an hour or I walked 10,000 steps and then let's just see what happens, right? Because now the mind is searching for something. It's excited about something. It's not this judgmental stance where there's this constant need, there's this pressure, there's this expectation of an outcome. I have to walk because I have to release weight. And if I don't walk, then I don't control my weight loss.
I actually started doing that again. I'm living with some friends, and one of us, the two of us decided we're just gonna walk every day. There's no expectation for it. It's just like, how does it feel to walk every day? And we were joking because our old selves, our younger selves, used to be like, I could not exercise and within 2 weeks I would be in shape. And I miss that 20-year-old self, but I'm not her anymore. So, and I could also eat French fries and still get in shape. It was like a my metabolism was so much more active then. But like now it's like, what does it just feel like? Instead of like, oh, I want to lose like X amount of weight, or I want to be like this fit in like this period of time, because that just feels like pressure, and I don't want to put that on myself.
And there's nothing fun about that, right? And
Yeah.
we have to honestly own the fact that we're going to commit to something when we're enjoying it, right? Because again, it's about the journey, right? This is all about the journey. If I can fall in love with the journey, if I can fall in love with fitness, then that'll just be a part of who I am, right? And so when we get curious and when we just try something out, we can also decide whether or not there was the impact that we looked for, right? What would happen if I stopped eating 3 hours before bed? Well, maybe my primary goal of doing that is because I want to lose weight. But maybe what I actually notice is that my skin clears up, I sleep better, I'm less bloated, I poop way better, I have more energy, right? So all these amazing things happen, and I discovered that because I was curious about it, and now I really know why I'm going to commit to stopping to eat 3 hours before bed. It has actually nothing to do with the fact that I want to lose weight and change my body because I feel like I'm defected in some way and I'm flawed, but actually because it gives me a better quality of life and I feel vitality and I feel just way better. And that is the intuitive part also of being curious because there is no judgment. It's just what's going to happen.
Oh yeah, like I go like I don't fast fast, but I intermittent fast. And so I'll just tune in the morning, like, okay, am I hungry yet? Nope. Okay. So I'll wait until I actually get hungry. And I'm usually fasting, like, I don't know, between 17, 18 hours a day. And it's not because I'm trying to. It's just that's what the rhythm of my body is.
So good. So good.
I'm out of the program of having to eat three meals a day. You know what? There's so many programs about eating.
Right. Yeah, and no wonder why people are so confused and why
Yeah.
they give up and why they look for something more and more and more extreme. And what's super interesting, even just getting away or moving away from this outcome focused goal to more of a system focused goal, is that it does allow for this curiosity. And here's what I mean by it. When most people set up a goal in health and fitness or even in business, it's I want to make this by this much time, or I want to release this much weight by this time, or I want to look this way by summer, right? So that is the outcome focused goal. And what we don't learn from that is how to maintain that afterwards, right? And we actually set up our brain to think that we only have to do this for a short period of time. Let's just endure the pain for a very temporary amount of time, because after that, we don't have to do that again. We don't have to worry about that again. We could just go back to the way things were. And that's the issue as well with diets, is that they don't actually teach us how to make this more sustainable. And I always talk about the keto diet, and I don't mean to throw any diets under the bus, because the keto diet does have its place for certain conditions, such as epilepsy, for example. But that's the thing, is with the keto diet, to have that bold statement like, I will never eat carbs again, or I'll never eat more than 5% macros coming from carbs. I mean, that's a serious statement. We just have to think about that.
That's
Right.
tough. It is tough. I tried it. I aspire to have less carbs.
Right.
I tried it for 3 days last year. After 3 days, I crashed and burned. I ate the most horrible foods, and then I got sick from it because I deprived, like, 20 carbs is not a lot. I can go like slice of sourdough and a shake in the morning, and that's my carbs.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm okay with having a slice of sourdough because I make it.
Right. Or fruit. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting that you said as well that what you saw come out of that is maybe an unwanted eating behavior. You said, I ended up eating all this food that, right, made me actually feel quite ill. And so that's also the other gift that diet gives us, is an unwanted eating behavior. Because when we are restricting for so long, what we actually do is we impose a food scarcity onto ourselves. And we have a part of the nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system, which I call protection mode, that kicks in anytime it's sensing any sort of threat in the environment. That threat could be from trauma, whether that's physical or emotional or verbal. It could also be from the trauma of food scarcity, which is either really we grew up in an environment where there was no food, we went to bed hungry because we were living off food stamps, which is the case for many people, or because I imposed a food scarcity where I starved myself, where I told myself I'm flawed in some way, I need to change myself. So there's already a lot of negative self-talk. It's already a lot of attack that's happening. So the nervous system is geared up. I've just called myself all kinds of names that I don't call anyone else. And I do this on a daily basis. And I'm now depriving myself from food. And so I kick in that part of the nervous system, sympathetic nervous state, protection mode, that will always, always drive for survival, which means it's going to get us to binge, to eat more, to crave food that are higher in sugar, higher in calories, higher in fat, because that's a way bigger bang for our buck. We're not gonna crave celery or carrots, right?
Well, I
But
do sometimes.
then you probably don't have protection mode kicked in. Yeah. And then the other thing too, so it slows down our metabolism. It actually makes it so that we don't want to move, and it makes it harder to release weight. And so this is what we see as a consequence of dieting on a physiological level, on a psychological level, and then even on a nervous system level.
Oh, I completely agree with that because, like, I watched because when I was like, okay, I'm gonna cut my carbs down some more. I'm not gonna go like that full route. But I saw the behaviors,
Right.
and it was so fascinating. Like, so I'm gonna be eating this now. Okay, good to know, because you're scared. that you're never going to have it again, which is not the case at all. And then when I finally was like, okay, you can do this. And then I started watching, like, as I was calming down from that fear of, oh my God, she's going to do the thing again. Not the keto thing again. I was like eating less and less of the things that were the comfort foods.
I have to tell you about my sister-in-law. Okay, she's amazing. First of all, like I love her. She's like my sister. But this girl, like I don't get it. I go to their house, Sophia, she's married to my brother. I go to their house and in their pantry, like she has every kind of cookie, like everything. Oh, chocolates, but the good chocolate, like the really good stuff, like Lindt dark chocolate with hazelnuts. You open her freezer, she's got treats and she's got ice cream and she's got it all. And she's never struggled with her weight. And it's super interesting because I asked her one time, and by the way, this is like the most bizarre thing. She has two small kids now. Like I literally see her take a bite of something. Like it could be like, again, the good chocolate. She'll take a bite of it, she'll put it down, and then she'll go do something, and then just like completely forget about it. Like, how do you forget about dark chocolate with hazelnut? Like, how can you forget about that? Like, I can't forget about that. And so I asked her one time, I'm like, Esma, you have to tell me, how are you so relaxed around food? And she's like, well, I just never dieted. What do you mean? Like, sweets, desserts, it's always been around. Like, it's there, right? If I want it, I have it. If I don't want it, I don't have it. And so when we diet, we create the scarcity mindset, right? Like, I'm not allowed to have it. I can't have it. And but if I have one piece, oh my goodness, well, I already screwed everything up. I should just finish the whole entire chocolate bar. And then you know what? Now that I'm at it, since I'm starting my diet again on Monday, I'm gonna start on Monday. I'm gonna be so good by Monday. I'm gonna just go ahead and finish the pint of ice cream because I deserve it, right? And then all of a sudden that starts to trickle down to something else and something else. And then we now have more and more unwanted eating behavior. And all comes from really developing the scarcity mindset, which is very much associated with the sympathetic nervous system because we are fearing lack. We're fearing lack of opportunities and we're fearing maybe survival, right? So it's just really interesting when we shift into an abundance mindset, knowing that something's always there, knowing that if I feel like having it, I can have it. That also allows for us to get more in tune with the body. And now the body is calling. And now we can listen to the body and not all the talk in the mind that is really focused on the lack or the scarcity.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And like last night, this is fun. I made minestrone and then we went out to get some ice cream. And like my little girl saw an ice cream sandwich. I was like, oh, I'm going to have an ice cream sandwich. This is great. My body is so unused to that I was humming and vibrating at a really strange frequency, for lack of a better word. And I'm laying in bed trying to fall asleep, but there's just too much activity going on. And I have berberine, and I got this very strong take a berberine supplement right now. I was like, okay. And I got up, and like 20 minutes later, everything calmed down and I was able to fall asleep. And so I want to bring that in as an example of like a deeper level of intuition with the supplements and the nutrients.
That's so good. Yeah, and that's super interesting. And we'll maybe look at supplements as being something supplementary to whatever our diet is, because I'll always say, let's focus on diet first, and diet obviously not being restriction, but let's focus on diet first to really fulfill all of our nutritional needs before we maybe want to add something more. And I want to come back to this word diet because diet is really everything that we ingest. Right? It's everything that we put into our body, which is not just what we're putting through our mouth, but it's what we're watching, it's what we're listening to, it is the EMF that we receive from our electronic devices, it is the conversations that we're sitting down in, it is our social circle. All of that is our diet. And so let's start adjusting things there because it's really amazing how a lot of stress can actually also cause a nutrient deficiency, right? So let's start there. And so once we can adjust for the things in our diet to improve it, now we can start to look at some supplements. And I'll always say, with certain supplements, first and foremost, to keep it simple, to also take whatever you feel that you need, because again, this is supplementary and we can actually disrupt a lot of processes in the body if we take something just because our friend has taken it, but we don't really have to take it. But right now, what I would recommend in terms of supplements, and you'll also notice this with your mood, especially if you're living somewhere like Montreal, Canada, is to take vitamin D as part of a very vital supplement that we most likely require in winter if we're not outside often or exposed to sunlight adequately, which is the case for most of us. And so this also, again, impacts your mood. It's not just for bone health and to prevent osteopenia or osteoporosis, but also to help you regulate your mood, to help you also calm your nervous system, and to help you also improve sleep. And then vitamin C also being something super important to take as well in winter time. And magnesium is something that I also recommend, a very high quality magnesium supplement at the end of the evening, also to, especially if you're training, just again to calm down the nervous system in a more natural way. So I would start there, and then of course we could start to expand. I do want to say, Sophia, there was a time, my goodness, there was a time, I think this was probably in 2017, I was training a lot and I started working, I had a gym at the time, and I started working with a supplement company, and he was bringing a whole bunch of supplements that I was offering at the gym. And so I had something I was taking in the morning, and then I had something I was taking before the workout, and then I had something I was taking during the workout, and then I had something I was taking after the workout, and then I had something that I was taking like to sleep. And so I was really investing in more than $500 a month on supplements that were promising all of these magical training effects. And I was just at one point like, but what else am I taking? Right? Like, I'm taking these supplements, but what else is in there? Right? Because there's all these fake sugars, there's all these chemicals, there's colors, there's dyes, there's all kinds of things in there. Right? And so I had this aha moment of, well, what would happen if I just stopped taking them? Like, what would happen with my training? And you know what happened, Sophia? Nothing. Nothing happened. I saved money and I went on a trip. Like, that's what happened.
That's awesome.
So something just to keep in mind in terms of what you're actually needing for supplements.
Oh yeah, I can tell for me, I do like amino acids,
Yes.
especially when I swim, because I know how much energy I put when I swim an hour. And like having that replenishment feels great. And I'm not swimming an hour a day right now, so I don't need them. So it's really fun to see like how like where we are in a given moment. And instead of taking vitamins every day, it's like, what do I need in this moment? And that's more of the intuitive sense of like, okay, where am I right now? Like I hadn't taken my aminos in like 4 days, and my body was like, "Can I have them today?" I'm like, sure, of course you can." But it's not, it's just a weird, like, not weird. It's just a different understanding because I used to take like handfuls every day. And I don't know how help. I mean, they were high quality, but I don't know how good they were for my body.
And I had that similar experience with magnesium also, just again coming back to really just being so connected with your body, right? So nothing had changed for me. I'm training the same. I haven't changed my nutrition. I don't have anything necessarily stressful going on in my life, but yet I'm having a hard time really relaxing and winding down before bed. And then I started to maybe read up on magnesium. I had somebody on my podcast who also spoke about magnesium, and then I really started to research a little bit more around what's happening with this fatigue that I'm experiencing, and why is it that it's hard for me to really wind down. And then I started taking magnesium, and boom, that was an immediate reaction. But you have to get to the place where you're super in tune, because fatigue can be caused by a lot of different things, especially if you're changing a lot of things at once, right? So if I'm up at night watching TV till 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's a lot of blue light, and I'm maybe eating and snacking and not giving my body time to rest and stop digesting for a moment, and I'm noticing that I'm maybe moving around a lot less, and I'm sitting more, and I'm on the computer more. And so all these things are happening in my life. It's hard to pinpoint what that one thing is, but when you have that intuitive connection and you're really allowing for those cues to come up and just be curious about them, that's when you can now start to incorporate one supplement at a time to see which one is impactful. Because if I went and purchased four or five different supplements to try them all to overcome my fatigue. I also don't know which one worked, right? So let's try one. How does that feel? And now I know that this particular supplement makes me feel this way.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Because otherwise we get too overwhelmed and we're just peeing out money.
Right. 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 And that's not good for us, but it's good for them because now we have to buy more.
Right. Right. So I want to shift a little and I want to ask you, like, because you mentioned COVID earlier, and I'm curious, like, what did you see in shifts in your business when this shift in our world occurred?
Yeah. So I was a gym owner at the time. I don't know what you have maybe heard about gyms and other types of businesses during that time.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
In Canada. So, you know, I'm from Quebec. And so we were shut down right away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we were told at first it was going to be 2 weeks, and then it just kept going on and on and on. There wasn't a lot of support from landlords. And then when they allowed us to open for a very short amount of time, there was a lot of restrictions around the number of people that you could have at the gym. And they kept opening us and closing and opening and closing. Ooh. And of course, it's not like a light bulb. Every time we open, we'd have to get not only all of the new cleaning supplies that cost a gazillion dollars to make sure that everything is disinfected, but now we have to hire staff, get memberships and registrations, and get everything ready and put classes on the schedule and all of that. And so, long story short, at one point I was just done. I just knew that that was it for me. So initially when they asked us to close, I actually ended up merging with another CrossFit gym. We did that for about a year. And as they continued open, close with a lot of restrictions, I was ready to move away from that. And so interestingly enough, I think it was around 2018 that I had the idea that I wanted to create a podcast. I started working on an online program. It's like the first online program that I had ever done. And so when COVID happened, as I'm going through all of these things with the gyms and trying to decide what I'm going to do with brick and mortar, I actually launched my online program and I started to do challenges. It was a 6-week challenge. I started to do that online and then launched my podcast and then my YouTube channel. And now I've launched my course, Make Peace with Food, to help women overcome unwanted eating behavior. And so it's been this beautiful journey.
Yeah.
And it's just allowed for more impact that is outside the four walls of my gym. And so again, things happen for us, not to
us. Yeah. Oh yeah. I love that because like, I know, well, that's when I started taking body health classes.
Right.
It's like, okay. So like I could feel the shift going on because I used to be an historian and like the job just kept getting heavier for me to do. Mm-hmm. Like energetically heavier for me to do. So I was like, okay, so what am I doing? And then all of a sudden I start receiving these intuitive hits like, oh, you should take this class. Oh, I like that class. Why don't you take this class for animals? Okay, I'll take this class for animals. And then like over the course of 6 months, I took four classes and then the system was like, okay, go start working. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to start working. And the shift in my beingness was so profound because I stopped feeling the need to be something that I did for other people ultimately and do what my heart was telling me.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm curious for you because I want to be super honest as this was all happening, right? Because this was like an overnight thing for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, close your gym. That's it. Right. And there's massive fines. There were some serious fines if you were going to get caught. Right. So
that's crazy.
A serious thing. So for me, initially, there was this whole reshift in identity, right? There was actually a disconnection of self for just a moment and not like my true self, but of who I thought I was, my ego self, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not Sherry CrossFit anymore because I live in this small community where everybody knows me everywhere I go. Also, my car says CrossFit all over it. Okay, that helps. And so, you know, everything I'm wearing is CrossFit. And so I'm Sherry CrossFit. And then all of a sudden I'm not.
Right.
Right. And so it was a lot like when the whole thing happened with my back and all of a sudden you're not an athlete, you're not doing this anymore, right? So there was a whole reshift in identity that had to happen. And that took me a moment because I didn't realize at that time that it was almost like a sudden death incident, right? When we move into that next chapter or that next phase in our life, there is a part of us that sort of closes or winds down, and we decide, we get to choose most of the time when especially we have goals, right? But this was so abrupt. It was like somebody sweeping the rug from under my feet, and now I had to reshift, I had to reposition. And so I had to go through that process of grievance. I had to grieve the gym. I had to grieve the space. And even though I had an opportunity actually to continue to open another gym and continue to do what I was doing, I just knew that that was the moment where I was supposed to shift. And so I'm just curious for you if you had also that same emotion of just needing to.
It was a lot of things were going on that year. So many things. I was ending a 16-year relationship with my former partner, and he and I were, it took us 11 months to disconnect finally. But I intuitively sensed it well before. So I'm going through that identity shift. And then I'm going through this, I'm not an Asturian anymore. And then, like, a lot of, and then I see, I was living in Portland, Oregon at the time, and I see things shifting there. And I'm like feeling this whole death of everything in my life. And I was guided to go down to Mount Shasta for 3 years, which was a whole other life experience. But like I looked at my resume from like 2019, I do not know who that person is. It's such a different frequency that I don't, I mean, I know at some point I think I did these things, but I don't recognize that person anymore because like I've gotten to the point where I don't know how to write a bio because I've given up on trying to identify who I think I am.
That's so powerful, and I find it so necessary to state because from the outside, oftentimes we'll look at that success story and we'll be like, wow, that person was so resilient. They're so strong. Look at them. They have such a strong mindset, right? They're so positive. They keep shifting. And I actually hear this from a lot of people. I heard this last weekend at my daughter's gymnastics competition. I bumped into somebody and she's like, wow, you're always innovating. You're always moving into the next thing. You're always, and I'm like, what? Like, if only you knew, right? It was desperation, like it was really like you have to. And so it's so interesting, and especially when it also comes to gym transformations, and people always see the after photo, but they don't see how many times that person's failed and struggled and maybe had deaths in their family and maybe had life events or got divorced or and all these things happen to all of us, right? And that is part of the journey. And so it's all a deposit into that bank account. And at the end of the day, we have to also know that anybody who succeeded at something succeeded only because they were so stubborn to stay at that failure place. They failed, they learned, moved on. Failed, 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 failed. Every single failure was an opportunity to learn and to improve so that they can continue to build and to progress and to grow.
I completely agree. I have failed many, many times. And it's okay because each time I get to expand more. And, you know, for in my since 2020, the journey has been I saw it, me standing at the edge of a cliff, ready to jump and being terrified and having some soft, pushy thing waiting for me at the other end. So I've just jumped and jumped and jumped and jumped to the point where I'm not comfortable with jumping, but I'm not scared of it.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
I remember reading this. This was an article that I had read maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it was actually a true story about a triathlete who was doing an Ironman. So this is an Ironman athlete, and he got diagnosed. I think it was a brain tumor. It was something quite serious, and I think he was given only 6 months left to live. And so, of course, family's like, "Pull out of the Ironman. What are you doing? You have 6 months left to live. Let's spend time together." And he's like, "No, I'm going to do my Ironman. That's what I'm going to do for my last 6 months of life. This is what I feel like doing." Sophia, 6 months passed, and he fully recovered from his disease, right? And so, what he learned from that is to live life 6 months at a time, right? In these 6 month blocks. right? And so as soon as I heard this story, I'm like, oh my God, this is it, right? What would happen if I just actually lived my life 6 months at a time, or even 24 hours at a time, right? We always have these big goals. By March, I'm going to do this. Well, what if I just have to focus on what I'm going to do in these 24 hours, right? Get through these 24 hours. Instead of thinking about needing to release 30 pounds, what am I going to do in these 24 hours to commit to my rituals? I'm going to go for a walk in these 24 hours. I'm going to listen to my body more, notice which foods it enjoys and which foods it seems to maybe react to. That's what I'm going to do in these 24 hours. I'm going to focus on proper sleep and better quality of sleep. And I'm going to focus on weeding out people who don't serve me in my life. And so if I do this every 24 hours, and that becomes my habit, by 6 months, imagine what the outcome can be. And then the other beautiful thing about that too is living your life at 6 month intervals is also not fearing the failure, because this is really what stops us, right? We fear failure. We fear what other people are going to say and how they're going to judge us, and we fear that we're not enough. But if we think about our death being so close, like, what does it really matter, right? Nobody regrets not spending more time with their family or their friends or enjoying the things that they love, right? Nobody cares about what they failed on or what didn't work out for them at that point. They're really thinking about the opportunities that they missed out on. And so if you decide not to do something and not to commit to yourself, and you know you're going to regret that, then what would happen if we were brave and we just tried it, and just within a 6 month period, see what could happen?
I love that. I love that. I do. I have part one. Like I don't know what the day is going to be. I write it, like I look at my calendar and I write everything down because I like having the handwritten stuff. That's just me. But then I won't look at the page that has anything written down on it until that day. So I'm just like, I have some sort of awareness of things that, like today, I'm like, oh, okay, I've got like a bunch of podcasts today. That's great. I'm still going to do my walk. I'm still going to have my breakfast. I'm still going to get my water for the multitude of podcasts I have. And yet when I'm having the conversation, I don't know what else is going to happen, right? I'm with you in this moment. And that's all that I care about because you're with me presently. What's happening next is what's happening next. And that doesn't have any, I mean, other than the fact that I have to like check the time on occasion, it doesn't have any effect on what I have with you in this moment.
So beautiful. I love that. I love that. I'm going to start doing that actually. And it's interesting because what I hear you say is that it just really brings you to the present moment where you could just be fully present with everything that you're doing. And that's actually the thing that we're so missing out on when we set up these huge goals, right? When I release 30 pounds, then I'll be happy. When I find the guy, then I'll start this thing that I wanted to do. When I make this much money, then I'll be, you know. And so our joy or happiness is always reserved for some distant point in the future that may or may not come. And we don't really know what that looks like and how long it would take. And also that we don't actually have a lot of control around. So what we're saying is, for now, I don't allow myself to be happy until that happens. And so I just have to be miserable every single day and unhappy and judge myself all the way through to the point where I can be happy.
That's a horrible way to live.
Right? And we do that.
I know, I know. It's like what in this moment or what during this day, like little things, like I got to see two a doe and her fawn this morning and I was like, oh my gosh, like it's like that, what a gift that is. It doesn't matter what else happens in that day, but then I get like, because I have that appreciation and that gratitude for like, wow, I got to see that. Then I like see your face light up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to meet the sister that I haven't seen in his lifetime before. And I get to like connect with you. And like, so if I have that mindset, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have the experiences. It's like, if I'm like, oh, I'm going to be like, nothing good's going to happen. Well, then nothing good is going to happen.
And that's what most of us think. Oh, it's Monday. It's gonna be a terrible day, right? Or we wake up, I'm so tired. I'm just gonna be tired. I'm tired. And the more we say these things to ourselves, the more that becomes our truth, right? Whatever we say about ourselves, that is a reflection of the choices we're going to make that day. So if I
Yep.
wake up in the morning and I look at myself in the mirror and I call myself all kinds of names and body shame
Right.
and point out all my defects, well, then my actions that I'm going to take around my self-care for the rest of the day are going to support exactly what I said that morning. But if
Exactly.
I wake up and I'm like, man, I'm a badass. Look at me, I'm awesome. Yeah, I'm strong, right? I honor my body. I honor my health. I am resilient. I am one with the universe. And I start my day like this. Well, I'm going to lean towards those colorful foods. And I'm going to lean towards more water. And I'm going to respect my sleep and the quality of my sleep because that comes from a very different place. I'm also supporting my self-concept or my identity. And so self-talk is so important. Because, like we were talking about the nervous system earlier, if we start negatively talking to someone, if we start calling them names, they're gonna feel like they're being attacked. They're gonna wanna attack back. And when we call ourselves names, we're getting ready to fight too, right? And that's the sympathetic nervous state.
No, Sherry, I love you.
I love you.
I'm going to ask one final question for now, and that is, how can people find you?
So you can find me at Sherry Shaban Fitness on Instagram or on Facebook. You can connect with me there. I've got resources for you there. I've also got the podcast, Fall in Love with Fitness. And then if you are looking for ways to overcome unwanted eating behavior, you can download a PDF I have for you at makepeacewithfood.com to get you started on your journey.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for who you are, for all the light you share in the world, and for your beingness. I'm so grateful to know you.
So grateful for you too, Sophia. I love the work that you're doing and you have a gorgeous, radiant light. Please don't stop doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Oh.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.